From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. Tomorrow brings elections around the country. Two governorships are at stake in Virginia and New Jersey, and there are mayoral contests in several major cities, including New York and Atlanta. In some cities where the inner city neighborhoods are predominantly black, race has dominated the election. That's true in Cleveland, where Jane Campbell, a white Cuyahoga County commissioner, is running against Ray Pierce, an African-American former Clinton administration official, to replace retiring Mayor Michael White. Mark Namick writes about politics for the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
This is the first time in 12 years in Cleveland that there is an open seat. And this allowed Raymond C. Pierce to really build a name for himself. He was one of the first ones in, and later attracted this county commissioner, Jane Campbell.
Now, she obviously has a track record getting votes in the Cleveland area.
She does. As a county commissioner, she's always led the top of the ticket in countywide races. She was in the state legislature for 12 years. Strong name recognition, high favorable perception on her. Raymond Pierce was an unknown name, but he, in the last 5 weeks, has really boosted his name recognition. And he is black, and this is shaping up to be along racial lines, because the city is divided by the Cuyahoga County River, separates the west and the east side, and traditionally African Americans have gravitated to the east side, whites have lived on the west side and voted along those lines. And now there is some crossover appeal with Jane Campbell, and I think that gives her a slight edge in the race. Raymond Pierce has been working hard to reach to white voters to not let this be perceived as a black and white race. But the two candidates have argued over where their children go to school. Raymond Pierce sends his one son to Cleveland Public Schools. Jane Campbell lives on the border of a suburb that allows her children to go to the suburb's school system. And school reform is a big deal in Cleveland, and they both have battled over that issue. Where your kids go, should it matter? It shows that the poll that we did, that issue does resonate.
What does your poll show as to whether this, how close this race is?
The poll showed that Jane Campbell has a slight to moderate lead of 7 percentage points, and that was with a margin of error of plus or minus 4. But we know from past polls and histories in Cleveland that there usually is an undercount of African-American voters. And if you factor in that, this could be a very close race on Election Day.
Mark Namick, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mark Namick of the Plain Dealer. In New Jersey, it looks as if the Democrats are going to take the governorship. Democrat Jim McGreevy is pitted against Republican Brett Schundler. To talk about that, Herb Jackson, who is the Deputy Trenton Bureau Chief for the New Jersey paper, The Record.
Well, the Republicans have held the governor's office for 2 terms, and they've controlled the legislature since 1992. The Democrats are kind of hungry for power at this point.
How come the Republicans are looking like they're going to lose? What happened?
Well, I mean, we had several things happen. Among them, the fact that people just tend to move from one party to the other in New Jersey. I know a lot of Republicans were concerned the same reason that George Bush won the White House, that people in the United States wanted to move from one party to the other. They were concerned that that might happen in New Jersey. But we also had a rogue Republican, if you would, who won the primary. Brett Schundler, the former mayor of Jersey City, was not expected to win the nomination in June. His opponent had the endorsement of 19 of the 21 county Republican chairmen, and Schundler surprised everybody by winning. And his opponent at the time, former Congressman Bob Franks, said that he was too extreme or too conservative for the New Jersey electorate, largely because of his views on abortion and gun control, which in New Jersey we tend to be a moderate state.
So what you're looking at here is the difference between the very conservative Republicans who voted in, a fairly low turnout primary, and the kinds of Republicans and independents and Democrats that will vote in the general election.
Correct. Plus, New Jersey had been trending Democratic in recent years. Before Bill Clinton, no Democrat had carried New Jersey since Lyndon Johnson. Then New Jersey went for Clinton in 2 years. We've consistently elected Democrats to the U.S. Senate, which is the only other statewide office that New Jersey elects. So the Democrats, especially, and the organized labor unions that are strongly allied with them, were very confident that they'd built a good organization to get out the vote for when the governor's office came up again.
Well, so what do you think? Do you think that New Jersey voters are going to turn out tomorrow, or has everyone just completely lost interest in this election?
I think interest is low, but it's hard to tell whether interest is low because people made up their minds so long ago that they just didn't think they had to pay attention to it, or whether they were distracted by the Yankees or other more serious concerns on their lives. But both parties are saying they're going to put a record amount of effort into get-out-the-vote effort. That's, you know, phone calls, people knocking on doors, people going and driving around neighborhoods, take people to polls. So it should be, if they do what they say they're going to do, it should be a pretty high turnout election.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Herb Jackson works in Trenton, for the record. In California, where ballot initiatives often dominate elections, San Francisco is voting on a pair of initiatives that would take control of electric power out of private hands, Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E, and create a public power authority. Rachel Gordon covers City Hall for the San Francisco Examiner.
This isn't a new idea. It's been tried in about 2,000 communities across the country, about 40 or so in California, where there's locally controlled, publicly owned public utilities for electricity. There hasn't been a big challenge in a big city like this for quite a while. San Francisco is really going to be perhaps the domino that PG&E fears. We already have public power in Los Angeles. We have it in Sacramento. But there haven't been big cities that have had this for quite a long time. So PG&E is putting all its forces to try to stop this from ever happening.
You mean big cities that have switched recently?
Correct.
So PG&E is in there with all kinds of TV ads and lobbying and whatnot?
So far, they've spent about $1.5 million trying to stop this. Now, there's no doubt that if voters approve this measure, that it's going to go to court. When Sacramento brought in public power years and years ago, decades ago, PG&E waged a 23-year battle to try to keep it out. Eventually, the public power proponents won, and now there's been public power there for quite a long time.
So does this look like something that's going to pass? It was a very big issue last summer, but since then, California has not had any power shortages, no brownouts, no blackouts, no problems.
Right, and there haven't been huge bills right now. Right, exactly what you said, that if this was on the ballot a year ago, there'd be no doubt that this would pass. PG&E is not really favored by the public by any stretch of the imagination. It's really hard to tell. The polls are not telling us which way this is going to go. There's a tremendous amount of undecideds out there. I think the September 11th attacks had quite a bit to do with that because people were not paying attention to the election. Not only the voters, but the local newspapers really put it on the back pages if they put it anywhere at all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rachel Gordon writes about City Hall for the San Francisco Chronicle.